Welcome to Module 3. We're looking at the first set of Grani slides in Module 3, and I want you to turn to slide 53. The heading there is regular expressions, and they tell you that a finite automata, whether it's a non-deterministic one or a deterministic one, is kind of a blueprint for constructing a machine recognizing a regular language. And they give an example here of what a regular expression might look like. A regular expression is going to be used to describe a regular language. So right now, I want you to think and say 10 times to yourself, a regular expression describes a language, not a string. A regular expression describes a language, a set of strings. So they have an example here in page 53, 0, 1 star plus 1, 0 star. Now we haven't seen the definition of a regular expression, so I'll tell you what that means. It means a 0 followed by any number of 1s, or a 1 followed by any number of zeros. You could actually put a union sign where you see that plus. We'll see that in a second. So we see regular expressions. You've probably all seen regular expressions, although we're going to be using the formal notation for regular expressions here. And you've seen various meta languages on Unix. If you've used Perl, XML, any of these languages, all tend to use regular expressions. So here in page 53, they mention the Unix grep and the Unix tool Lex. And we'll see some of these in a few minutes. First of all, before we define a regular expression, I'm going to mention some operations on languages. And these almost go without saying because languages are sets, and you certainly know what the union of two sets is. Nevertheless, the union of two languages is the set of strings such that the string is in one of the languages or the other. Concatenation is the set of strings such that the string can be broken down into a part that's in the first language and a part that's in the second language. We define L0 to be the language containing the empty string. L1 is defined as L. LK plus 1 is L concatenated with LK. So L2 is L squared would be L concatenated with L. L cubed would be L concatenated with L, concatenated with L. Some of this we saw in the previous module. And then L star is the union as I goes from 0 forever of LI. And we're going to skip these questions. Okay, we're going to have a recursive definition for what a regular expression is. These slides call them an inductive definition. I like the term recursive definition better. First of all, there are three base cases. Epsilon is a regular expression denoting the language, remember regular expressions denote languages, denoting the language containing epsilon. Phi is a regular expression denoting the empty language. And if you have any symbol from the alphabet, say A, then A is a regular expression denoting the language containing an A. We get the rest of the definition of a regular expression by recursing on this beginning thing. First it says, if E is a regular expression, then parentheses E is also a regular expression. And the language of the parenthesized is the same as the language of the regular expression. We don't actually even need parentheses in regular expressions, as I'll show you in a couple minutes. Second part here. If E and F are regular expressions, then their union, denoted E plus F, is a regular expression. And the language, remember regular expression is a language, the language of E plus F is the language of E union with the language of F. Similarly, if E and F are regular expressions, then E concatenated with F is a regular expression, denoting the concatenation of the two languages. If E is a regular expression, then E star is a regular expression. E star denotes the language of E star. So on page 56 here, we have a definition. L is the set of all strings W over the alphabet 0, 1 star, such that 0 and 1 alternate. So what would that be? Well, 0, 1 all starred is in there. 1, 0 all starred is in there. Let's think about it. If we concatenate a 0 in the beginning, that's still an alternating. We concat a 1 on the beginning, that's an alternating. Now, you might stare at that for a few minutes and say, is that all of them? This is kind of a constructive process, so there's no way we can prove at the moment that that's all of them. And then they write down below it an equivalent way of actually writing that down. Remember I said you don't really need parentheses? You should use them, by the way, because it makes your regular expressions easier to read. But there is an order of precedence for operators similar to arithmetic, where times takes precedence over plus. Star, Kleene star, has the highest precedence. Dot, the concatenation operator, which we often leave out, has the next higher precedence, and plus has the lowest precedence. So 0, 1 star plus 1 is grouped as though the 1 and the star first, and then 0 is concatenated to that, and then that's unioned with the language containing a 1. On 57, they talk about the equivalence of finite automatas and regular expressions. They show a nice, neat little picture there. Frankly, I would just put the epsilon NFA in with the NFAs, but they didn't, and a lot of books didn't, so we'll look at these separately. And what we're about to do is show that regular expressions can be converted into an epsilon NFA, and that for any DFA, we can come up with a regular expression. So we're going to do those two, that leftmost arrow and the bottommost arrow. We don't actually know that yet. So those are the two steps. We're going to do the hardest part first. And the hardest part is to show that for every DFA, we can construct a regular expression. Now at this point, they go into a lot of proofs and things, and I'm going to have you skip to page 67. I'm going to try to skip to page 67 here. And we are going to look at an equivalent way to show that, to convert a finite automaton into a regular expression. So I want you to look at this picture on page 67. What we're going to do is gradually try to eliminate all the states except the initial states and the final state. S, the state there in the middle, is the one we've chosen to look at. Now, to eliminate S, we need to eliminate all the paths that come into S and go out of S. So look at the path from Q1 to S on reading the regular expression Q1. Then when you're in S, it also accepts the regular expression S. And then we get to PM by reading regular expression PM. We're going to get rid of those two arrows that go from lowercase q1 to PM going through S. How do we do that? Well, let's just think. How do we go from q1 to PM when we go through S? We read a q1, uppercase, an S star, followed by a PM. So we literally eliminate that path through S and label the path that goes from Q1 to PM as Q1 S star PM. Similarly, we can eliminate the path that goes from lowercase Q1 to S to P1 by looking at the regular expressions that get us from state Q1 through state S to state P1. It's regular expression Q1, regular expression S star, those two concatenated, followed by regular expression P1. So we can eliminate that root and put just an arrow between Q1 and P1 and label it Q1 S star P1. Similarly, we do that for the other trips through S there, for the other ways. We can go from state QK to state PM, going through S and so forth. You keep doing that for all the past, and then you do it for all the states except for the initial state and the final state. And when you look at the finite automaton that you have left, you'll be able to read off without any trouble what the regular expression is that accepts it. So at this point, I want to skip to the example. And the example is a little further on here, on page 70. Okay, so we've got a finite automaton that in state A has an arrow in 0 and 1. So as long as the string begins with zeros or ones, it can stay in state A. Notice this is an NFA. Or when we get a 1, we can go on to state B, followed by either 0, 1 to state C, and to 0, 1 to state D. Now what I would do with this finite automaton, the graph, is I would make two graphs, one for each of the final states. In the first graph, I would make C a regular state, and in the and D a final state, and in the second graph, I would reverse that. I would make C the final state and D a regular state, so that I could look at these with a single final state. When I did that, I would take that process that I just mentioned to you, and I would first I would eliminate, say, B, okay, and the arrows that go from A to through B to C. Certainly, I can go from A to C by a 1 concatenated with a 0 plus 1. Then if this is the graph that has C as a non-final state, I would eliminate C, concatenate those strings to see what I would have to get to D. You won't have any trouble when you finish that reading off the regular expression. Then you want to do it with the other graph and union those two regular expressions together. So they go on and do some of that. I'm skipping right along the slides. You can look along the slides and you'll see that they eventually get down to a regular expression. All right, how about going the other way? We've got a regular expression and we'd like to show that somewhere there is a finite automaton that accepts it. Now remember that if you have an NFA, you can convert that to a DFA. So it's good enough for us to change any regular expression into an acceptor that's an NFA. In fact, in particular, they emphasize the epsilon NFAs. So here's how they do it. Suppose we're just going to go down the definition of a regular expression. First of all, remember that the first part of a regular expression was the basis, and it said that epsilon, phi, and A, where A is in the alphabet, are regular expressions denoting the language containing epsilon, the empty language, and the language containing A. So for epsilon, I want a non-deterministic finite automaton that will accept epsilon. There it is, page 73, A shows a non-deterministic finite automaton that goes from an initial state to a final state on accepting an epsilon. What about the empty language? Well, that's pretty easy. We just show in B two states, an initial state and a final state, and no way to get to the final state. That's certainly not going to accept anything. C, to accept the language containing an A, we just want to go to initial state and a final state on reading an A. Now, we have the recursive part of that definition. And notice that they did skip, here we are on page 74, they did skip the part about the parentheses, which doesn't make any. So suppose you have two regular expressions, and you want to come up with a finite automaton for the union of them. Well, you just create a new initial state, a new final state, and in part A here it shows epsilon transitions into R, epsilon transitions into S, and epsilon transitions back out from their final states to this new final state. Pretty clear, that's a non-deterministic finite automaton accepting R plus S, which is the union of the language of R with the language of S. What about RS? Well, in B, it just shows you take the finite automaton that accepted R, and epsilon transition from the final state of that into the initial state of the finite automaton accepting S. And then you've got one that accepts the concatenation. In C, we have the Kleene star. We've got some regular expression R that we know is a regular expression. We want to show that there is a finite automaton for R star. Well, that's a little messier because first of all, you have to accept epsilon. So we do create the new initial state and the new final state, and we have an epsilon transition from the new initial state to the new final state. We also create another epsilon transition from the final state of R back to the beginning state of R. That's so we can accept RR and RRR and so forth. So that will accept the Kleene star. That will accept, C will accept R star. So that's really much easier. On page 75, we've got a nice example. We're going to convert 0 plus 1 star followed by 1 followed by a 0 plus 1, the regular expression, into a finite automaton. So first we look on the top there and we'll see that we have a finite automaton that goes from an initial state to some originally final state on a 0. On the bottom there was a finite automaton that went from a 0 from an initial state to what was originally the final state on a 1. So we create new epsilon, new initial states, new final states, and epsilon transition into them. So that first part A accepts 0 plus 1. Now we want to do the star of that. So we add all those epsilon transitions that will accept epsilon and that will go back and repeat so that we can do 0 plus 1, 0, 1 again. That's in part B. Now we want to be able to have that followed by a 1 and then followed by a 0 or a 1. So in part C, we've created yet another new initial and final state that takes us on a 1, and then we concatenate that with a machine, the same machine actually, that accepts a 0 or a 1. Little messy. On the other hand, we know that we have a way to convert from an NFA to a DFA. So there's some algebraic laws for languages. The union of two languages is commutative. L union M is the same as M union L. That's because there's kind of an or thing in there. It's the strings of L or the strings of M. So it might as well be the strings of M, strings of L. Union is associative. L union M. All union with N is the same as L union with M union N. Concatenation is associative. That shouldn't be too. And then they point out that concatenation is not commutative, which makes sense, certainly. L followed by M is not the same as M followed by L. On page 77, we union with the empty language. We concatenate with the empty string. We concatenate with the empty language. Those are all rules. There is a distributive law in 78 that L concatenated with M union N is LM union LN. And then it points out that it's right distributive over union and that L union with itself is L. No surprise. We do define the empty set. It's not really a definition. It follows that the empty set starred contains the language consisting of the empty string, as does the language consisting of the empty string star. L plus is L concatenated with L star. And it says that that's L plus union epsilon. Yeah, I guess it is. Because, let's see, yeah, L plus union epsilon. I guess what I'm wondering about is if L doesn't contain epsilon itself, but when you... I'm not convinced. Oh, L star is L plus union epsilon. Absolutely. Okay, that makes sense. You might ask yourself, when does L plus not contain epsilon? So, yeah, that's actually what I was thinking about. And then they say that L star is the same as L star. And I'm actually, and I know you're all happy about this, going to skip the proof. So now I'm here in page 80 with the algebraic laws for regular expressions. Let's see, the language of 0 plus 1, 1 is the same as the language of 0, 1 plus 1, 1. That's true. And then they have another one, and they just point out some of these regular identities. It says, how do we verify that a general identity like the ones we just said above are true? Well, probably the best way is to let the computer prove it. In chapter 4, we're going to look at some ways of showing equivalences of regular expressions, but we're sure not going to do this right now. So I'm going to skip on to page 82, which goes to 83, and we're actually done with this chapter. So we're going to stop.